Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dr. Linda DeGutis is with us. She has led a very successful career in the areas that work for us on this particular topic. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. What would be the major points you'd want people to know about your career? Because if we went through all of your accomplishments, I think we might be here until 2, and that is a testament to your success. And also, I thank Lindsay for tracking down. What are the main points people should know about your background as we begin this conversation?
Sure. Well, thank you. I've worked on trauma care, emergency care as a clinician, but then I've also really worked to look at ways of preventing things that will kill people through my work at the CDC, through my work as a researcher when I was at Yale, and really, really working to figure out what can we do to keep people from dying from injuries and violence. So that's probably
the best way to describe it. How would you describe the last year? Once we move past the horror of Parkland, and sadly, a lot of people didn't move past that. They lost their lives. Families would never see their sons or daughters again, or injuries. But as a country, when we're talking about what has been different over the next 364 days, tell us that part of the story.
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, the kids who did survive Parkland and went through that horrible event and saw what was happening to their friends and some of them to their siblings, they've really been active and they've really been working to try and get us to do something as a country to prevent people from dying of, being shot and being, or being disabled because of their injuries and because of being shot. But we still, on a daily basis, see 100 people on average dying from firearm violence, some type of it, whether it's homicide, whether it's suicide, whether it's children who pick up a gun that's left that's loaded and they're curious naturally, and they pick up a gun and shoot another child or someone else who's nearby. So we haven't stopped it, despite the dialogue that's gone on. And there's been quite a lot of discussion going on. And I think, again, a number of the kids from Parkland really worked to get the word out there to say, hey, we need help. We need to make this change. We need to not have this happen again in our schools or in our communities. So I think we're starting to see that. But then last week, there was a hearing on a bill in the House of Representatives to require background checks, yep, universal background checks. And the conversation started out with, people really wanted to talk about doing that, but then it kind of got diverted and it didn't really go anywhere at that point in time. So, again, we have from our leaders on a federal level, no action to make this different, and I think the real action that we're all asking for is, even given that we have guns in our environment, much as we have cars in our environment, how do we keep people safe? How do we keep them from being killed and injured? That's really the question. And what kinds of things can we do to really make people as safe as possible?
What are your thoughts on, after Parkland in the area, the recommendations from the district, the recommendations for people who are in positions of authority about what should change, whether it's on the mental health side, whether it's on tracking down individuals as much as they can to prevent something like this mm-hmm. taking place, changes at the school. What's your view on what is taking place in the area itself?
Well, I think the first thing is that I know there were recommendations made about potentially having teachers carry firearms or others in the school carry firearms. And first of all, we have no evidence that that would be effective. And actually, those firearms would then be accessible to people who maybe shouldn't have access to them. I'm not talking about the teachers necessarily, but somebody might take one from a teacher. You would be asking teachers to shoot people if there was somebody who came in. It's not clear every teacher would feel very comfortable doing that. That's not their, it's not their role. It's not what they're used to doing.
Would you give latitude to the school districts who feel like they want to do this? A lot of them, Doctor, have said lately, maybe we've just learned about it more lately, maybe I just have learned about it more lately, that they will say, we're in a more rural part of our state. We don't have police as close to us as some others. By the time some authorities get to us, it's a significantly longer period of time than others who are near major cities. Is that a valid point?
Yeah. I don't think so, because I think that, again, is, you know, closing the barn door after the animals have escaped on some level. It's that analogy. You know, it's how do we prevent it from even happening in the first place? How do we keep someone who maybe should not be carrying a gun from bringing one to a school or bringing one into a school? How do we deal with those kinds of issues? And I think what can happen if, you know, there's a broad initiative to have guns, you know, teachers carry guns or someone in the school carry a gun, it will divert the attention from actually preventing someone who shouldn't have a gun from bringing one into the school. And I think that's where some of the problems are, is that, you know, this would just be, it would be a diversion and people would feel like they did something, but there would be no guarantee that that would work.
So considering the divide we have, Doctor, the divide among those in the medical community, the divide with our citizens, the divide with politicians, why should we feel like there will be any significant change on something changing regarding legislation, whether it's for mental health or greater gun restrictions, that both sides, maybe for principled reasons and maybe for shrill reasons, are just locked in and they're not going to move? Why should we just feel like we're just in a position where it's just going to be rinse and repeat? And in the next month or two, you're going to be where you are, I'm going to be where I am, and something awful again is going to happen at a school.
Right. I think that, first of all, I think that I think we can do something. I think there's lots of options for doing things on many levels. And I think the first thing we have to do is get everyone to not so much stand across from each other and, you know, yell back and forth or have a fight about it, but to see what we can agree on. And if we can agree that none of us really want, you know, these kinds of shootings at the schools or people to die from gun violence, whether it's in a community, in a rural area, no matter where it is, if we can come to that agreement, then I think we can actually talk and have a discussion about what kinds of things can we do to get there, much as we did with cars.
Yep.
You know, where we've done so much with protective devices. We've done things with cars being changed somewhat in design so that certain things won't injure you the way they did 30 years ago. So I think those are the kinds of discussions and the kind of dialogue that we have to have. But we have to get everybody to sit down and have that discussion.
Dr. Linda DeGutis is with us. She's been involved in this fight for a long, long time, including with the CDC. Her basic premise is just to, in whatever way possible, to try to prevent more violence, especially towards younger individuals in our society. Is there an idea or two that you look at for folks who are trying to stop this outside of the gun idea, which we talk about schools, where you think it comes from the heart, it comes from the right intent, but really if we do this practically, it's not going to live up to the expectation that many people have for it.
Right, right. And I think that's true. I think the idea of universal registration, so we know who owns the guns, working with the gun manufacturers to do things so that guns can't be fired, perhaps by someone other than the owner. You know, there's that technology is available. Working with people who sell guns in the gun shops, and this is going on in Colorado right now, to have them understand what might indicate that somebody is buying a gun because they're going to use it to die by suicide or something, you know, so that they can help intervene on that side that somebody maybe needs some help, you know, with their mental health. So, you know, these are things that all might help. The problem's not going to go away in a day, but as, again, you know, just thinking back to what we did with cars, we gradually changed things, and we have fewer people dying per vehicle mile traveled, you know. So how can we get to that same kind of thing with guns?
Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate the time.
Sure. You're welcome. Thank you.
Let's pick up on it here after a short pause, include you in on the mix, whether it's through a phone call or a text. Give me your one idea. Give me the number one idea you have that would put us in a greater position to prevent Columbines, Parklands, and other events that rivet the nation, that kill people, that take kids away, take parents away, and then we have the huge conversation about it, and not a bleeping thing happens. Not a thing changes. I hope it's more than just everybody locks in where they're at, because, of course, that's where we are in society right now. And it can't be also our idea often of perfect be the enemy of good. Because nobody's saying that we pass it and like that, nobody's ever going to get a shot again. We're gonna resolve every mental health issue. That can't be the bar. Because so few issues of this import are ever resolved off one change. But if you become czar of school safety, and you can do one thing to give kids the best possible chance to just be kids and parents to be safe and others to be safe, what is it? What's your one idea you do? 48 past one, that is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to lower your energy bills with a free home energy audit. Let's go with phone calls and texts. 651-989-9226 or text away 81807.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.